Before we went away, and by the way, I just want to confirm the conference was incredible. It was really amazing, and which is why we're actually going to stop it next year. We're not going to have a service. We're just going to make plan to get there, all of you. So it's going to be the first weekend of the September-October holidays, so you can plan for that. And the Pastor Summit was also amazing, really incredible, very good fellowship, but also very productive. And I want to, that's where I was on my birthday, by the way. So it wasn't a holiday, it was a time well spent with God's children and family, the leaders in the church. But this message, though it's been waiting almost a month for me to preach this, I do believe, as I listened to the praise and worship this morning, that it is what God wants us to hear today. And it's called The God Chases. I don't know if it's up there, yes. And you may have seen a book in the Christian bookstores called The God Chases. I'm not sure who wrote it. I think it's Tommy Tenney. I've never read the book. I've never even really looked into it. But the theme or the title of the book has stayed with me as I've remembered it from past. And I always thought, I didn't really like the title, to be honest. That's why I haven't read it yet. Because I thought, you know, it sounded to me like chasing after the wind and chasing after money and, you know, health, wealth, and happiness kind of message. That's sort of my impression that I got. But my message today can be entitled The God Chasers, or it can be entitled The God Seekers. But I've purposefully not made it God Seekers, because then we think, that doesn't sound so great. But a God Chaser, it's someone that's more than just seeking God. It's someone who chases after God, who not merely says, yeah, you know, I'd like to meet with God, but it says, I live to meet with God. I live to find my God. And that's what I'd like us to be as a family of God chasers. We get many kinds of chasers. In Afrikaans, as you say, rokjagters. And there's a few of them that now and then makes the news and the newspapers. What's that guy from Achter Elkeman? Steve Hofmeyer. You know, one of the most famous rokjagters in our country. And he's just chasing after the girls one after the other, and sometimes two or three at a time, and they don't even know it. And then there are people who actually chase after the wind, then chasing after useless, silly things. There are people who chase after riches, money, wealth. There are people who chase after power, politicians and controllers of world economies. There are many different things, and I'm sure the list is very long, about the things that you can chase after in life. But so many people chase and never find fulfillment. And then there are others who chase nothing, and therefore they find nothing. In other words, they just float through life, not pursuing anything in particular, not being purposeful in life, just going about life, and then finding nothing of value, not even money, not even friendship or whatever, finding nothing. I want us today to not be those who seek nothing and find nothing, nor do I want us to be people who seek after the wind. But I want us to be people who seek after the most precious prize of all. When Abraham made a covenant with God, or God made a covenant with Abraham rather, God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I am your exceedingly great reward. It was not the fact that he was going to have descendants as many as the stars or as the sea at the sand, or that he was going to be a wealthy man or a successful man, or that he's going to become the father of all believers in heaven one day, and all the many things. But Abraham's greatest prize in life and in eternity is God himself. God himself said, and with God comes everything. Everything that you can think of and desire and wish for is locked up in God himself. And so when you are chasing after God, you are chasing the essence of life. You are chasing the greatest prize of all. There is nothing greater than God himself. There is no pursuit in life that can ever match the pursuit of God. And when you find God, you have found the greatest treasure of all. And for me, that is also the purpose of my life, is to introduce people to this God, that people may fall in love with Jesus for themselves. Not a second-hand relationship, not a third-hand relationship, not a God in the distance. Not like that song says, God is watching us from a distance. Nonsense. But our God is here. God is with me and He's precious. And if people can have God, then I would be happy. There's nothing that makes me happier than that thing. I want to read to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For Jehovah searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. This to me is such a deep and important scripture. Because He's speaking to him and He's saying to him, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. In other words, you must know Him personally, not just know about Him. The God of your father. I, this week, discovered a bit about my family. I discovered there's a Meiberg Bond. I didn't know it. And that they've actually already traced my lineage up to the first Meiberg here in South Africa 300 years ago. It was such a wonderful thing to discover all the Meibergs. It's just there's a lot of them. And and it's one of the most well-researched families in the country. I didn't know that either. But what blessed me more was the guy who sort of put this together, the guys who started this league more than 50 years ago, were all born-again believers, not ashamed of their faith. The guy who's leading it now, he's 80-something, and he says he's in Beseringstate. Had many operations, 3 operations. But without knowing me from a bar of soap, he's testifying, boldly proclaiming Jesus. And I was looking at this and I'm saying, my God, you blessed me with a family that knows you. Because my grandpa and my grandma, they knew God. They spoke about God very often. And I hear the voice of my grandpa and grandma in this man, Wim Freek. And I can hear that from him it comes through others. And I want to tell you that the greatest blessing as a parent that you can give your children, the greatest inheritance, is God. I've had 2 grandmothers that prayed for me on both sides. And I tell you that is so, so precious. It's wonderful for me to can stand here and say that I know that God is in my family. And He will continue to be in my family. So he says, know the God of your father and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. And I want to talk about those 2 things first. Because maybe I'll get to the back there. He says, for Jehovah searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. For if you seek Him, He will be found by you. This is about seeking God. And if you seek Him with all your heart, then you will find Him. But then it says here that we need to know that God understands our hearts and our minds. In other words, it's saying that it almost looks like there's a condition here. You can seek God with all your heart, but you must know that God knows your heart and He knows your mind. So therefore, he says to him, you must seek God with a perfect heart and a willing mind. In other words, if you do not have a perfect heart and a willing mind, you may seek and yet not find. And there are many that say, but I have sought God and I have looked for God and they have not found God. I'll tell you the reason, 2 reasons. They have not either had a perfect heart nor that they have a willing mind, or either one of the 2 was missing. I want you to understand this now as I'm going to go through it slowly. A perfect heart speaks of a place where we come and we humble ourselves before God. Where we don't come with pride and arrogance and say, God, if you're really there out there, then show yourself to me and prove yourself to me. And so many times I've heard people with that attitude declaring, God, if you're real, then stop this chair from falling to the ground. And then it falls to the ground and say, oh, you see, God is not here. And then people say, well, God does not exist. That's foolishness. And there's a lot of people caught up in foolishness because of a wrong attitude, because of a pride and an arrogance. That we need to come and humble ourselves because God is God. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends if you obey my commandments. See, many people miss that part. In other words, if you recognize that I am King of Kings and I am Lord of Lords and I am the boss, then you can be my friend. But if you do not fear me and if you do not respect me and honor me, you cannot be my friend. We need to have the right attitude towards God, and we need to be humble and small in our own sight. Together with that, there are poisons sometimes in our heart towards people and sometimes towards God. And we need to get rid of those things in our hearts. Things like bitterness, resentment, and anger. Many times you would hear the voice of a young man saying, I hate God, I hate God. Why did he take away my daddy in a motorbike accident? One of my university friends lost his dad at a young age in a motorbike accident. So I heard his cry, and I heard many cries like that. An anger, and a bitterness, and a resentment. Sometimes towards God. Sometimes I hear people saying, those Christians, hypocrites, and all sorts of things. And there's bitterness and anger in the heart. And that blinds. You see, the poisons of your heart will blind your eyes. And you're looking for God, but you cannot see because of the poison that's in your heart that has gone to your eyes. And you cannot see. So if you want to really find God, you need to deal with the poison in your heart. Firstly, the attitude of your heart. And secondly, the poison in your heart. And then he says the second thing is we need to seek him with a willing mind. In other words, we need to be open for correction. We need to understand that we actually did not create the universe. And that actually we don't know everything. We may have been able to get a man onto the moon, but we still don't have a simple cure for HIV/AIDS. And so the list goes on and on and on. Many times it's pride that blocks our minds and we think that we know it all and we understand it all. But we need to come before God and be open for correction, because maybe I see God like this, but maybe God does not look like that at all. Maybe God he looks like something completely different. So in other words, oftentimes we want to seek God and we're looking for something in my mold. Maybe God in my mind looks like a Lego man. And in your mind, maybe God looks like a Smurfy man. And you're looking for the Lego man and you're looking for the Smurfy man and you don't find him. And you say, I've looked everywhere and I didn't find God. Well, the reason why you didn't find him is because he doesn't look like a Lego man, nor does he look like a Smurfy man. He looks like a lamb and he looks like a lion. Because he's the Lamb of God and he's the Lion of God. And so we and I need to have a willing mind to be open for correction about how we perceive God and who he is and what he is. Firstly. Secondly, be open to see things that you never thought possible. To have a different opinion. Maybe you have a certain kind of a tradition and you think of God in a certain way, and if God does not fit into your mold of tradition in the church that you grew up in, or the way that your family has taught things, and the way that you've had Huisgodsdienst as a little boy or as a little girl, and you have this tradition and mindset and a religious way of looking at God and doing things, God is bigger than that. And then lastly, be open to change your old ways immediately. In other words, you must have a willing mind to change. And I want to give you an example. At university, a young man, one of my friends, his name's also Anton, came to me and he said, please tell me more about baptism of believers. Grootdoop, he called it. I said, okay, that's fine, I'll tell you. But first tell me something. If I convince you from Scripture right now that you need to get baptized as a believer in water after being born again, will you come with me now to Stellenbosch Dam and be baptized now, today, right now? He said, no. After he thought a little while, he said, no, I'm not willing to do that. I said, well, then I'm not going to answer your question. Many people ask questions, but they don't have a willing mind to obey what they find. They're not willing to accept what they find. They're asking questions to simply pacify the conviction of their hearts. So that they can say, I've asked a question, but look, I don't really have to bother myself with this thing.
It's just there to pacify themselves. And many times people seek God, but they miss God altogether. Because I want to tell you this. The scripture says, do not cast your pearls before the swine. I want to tell you, God does the same. God's not going to tell you the secrets of heaven to someone that is going to trample it underfoot. Someone who's not willing to receive it. Someone who does not really eagerly desire to change and to follow and to submit to God. He's not going to reveal himself, and God's not going to show his heart to you if you don't have a pure heart and if you don't have a willing mind. Because God's heart is precious, and God is not going to just make his heart open for you to trample upon just as you please. So we've got to come to God with an open heart, open mind and a willing heart. 1 Chronicles 22 verse 19. And maybe I must just add something before I read that. We need to have not only a pure heart and a willing mind, but a submissive heart and a submissive mind. Because that's how you can test whether your heart and your mind is pure. Are you willing to submit? Are you willing to submit to God? Are you willing to submit to His, to what you discover? Are you willing to let go of everything to follow Jesus? Are you willing to let go of your fishing boat? Are you willing to let go of your career, of your family, of your taste door? Are you willing to let go of all of that and to submit to God and say, Lord, I am yours? It's with that attitude that we seek the living God, and then we shall find Him. Now set your heart and your soul to seek Jehovah your God. Arise therefore and build the sanctuary of Jehovah God, to bring the ark of the covenant of Jehovah and the holy vessels of God into the house that it is to be built to the name of Jehovah. I want to read it in Afrikaans as well, just the first part there. 1 Kronieke 22:19. Rig nou julle hart en julle siel daarop om die Here julle God te soek. Set your heart and your soul to seek God. Rig jou hart. It speaks of the fact that we have to make a decision and then say, I am making a choice that I am going to follow God. I'm going to set my focus. That is my compass. This is my direction of life that I'm going to pursue. When we look at a map or we look at a direction or when you punch something into your GPS, it determines where you're going to go. And it says, set your heart, set it focused to say, I am going to seek God. This is my life mission. This is my life purpose. This is my life destiny. Is to seek God. Not my career, not my fancy house, not my holidays, not my nice car, not my big fancy dogs, or whatever it is that you treasure, but to say, I set my face, I set my heart, I set my life to seek my God. That is what a God chaser looks like. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, there's that word again, humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, repentance, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me, when you search for me with all your heart. 2 Chronicles 7:14 starts with the word, if. In other words, if you don't do this, then you won't find that. And if you don't come before God with a humble heart and pray and repent and seek His face, you will not find Him. In other words, it's conditional. Only those who seek Him will find Him. If you don't seek, you will not find Him. But then the scripture says the promise. It says that He will be found. In other words, God will reveal Himself to you in a way that you are able to find Him and discover Him. I see there's many parents here in the room. For those who don't have parents, I want to tell you how you play hide and seek with children. Can I show you how you do that? Okay. You play hide and seek more or less like this. You go hide somewhere where they can actually find you. Okay. You let your feet stick out. And maybe you kookalooed every now and then so that they can see your head. And then when they find you, go, and then you run and say, Block myself, and but that time they've already blocked you, you know, and you've already been caught. And that's sort of what God is doing with us. He's saying, I'm going to make myself discoverable. In other words, God's not going to hide in the top kitchen cupboard, okay, where the kids can't climb up. Okay, if you do that as an adult, you're stupid. You're going to sit there for 3 hours. You need to make yourself discoverable to your children. And so God will make himself discoverable, but he makes himself discoverable on certain conditions. Because God is wanting us to come to him and to look for him out of a pure heart and with a willing mind. Set your heart, set your focus. It speaks here that we need to search with all of our heart. It speaks of an urgency. It speaks of the fact that this search is an all-consuming thing. It's everything that is this search takes up. And then humble yourself and pray. I want to speak a little bit about the impact of that. I see in my notes, I just want to share with you a few things. I'm disturbed sometimes when there's a call to follow Jesus, and then people come forward and they come to an altar call at a Fergus Buchan meeting or an Angus Buchan meeting or a whatever meeting. And people come to the front and they pray a prayer and they get born again by way of what they're saying, and then so many people do fall away. I don't say we must stop that. We're going to do that. We're going to do that 1,000 times over because many people come to Christ that way. But I am concerned about those who just fall away. And I tell you why. Because I realize that they were not God chasers. They're not God seekers. You see, if you're really a God chaser and if you're really a God seeker, you don't need anybody to follow you up. You don't need anybody to run after you. And if we look at Jesus, when the rich young man came to him and he said, I want to follow you, Jesus said to him, well, then go and sell all your possessions and then you come and follow me. And else he was testing his heart and he failed the test. And Jesus didn't run after him and say, okay, well, sorry. Let's talk about this. Let's negotiate it. Maybe you could just sell half of your stuff. And then, no. But the Bible does say that Jesus went away from that place sad. He went the way sad because he realized this man does not really seek to follow him. Because if you really seek to follow Jesus, you will sell everything and you will follow him and you will run after him. I want you to learn this day that God is not going to run after you and me. Yes, there is the place where he leaves the 99 and he comes to us, but he's not going to change his conditions. He's not going to change what he's asking of us, which is our everything. The emphasis is that we must seek after him. All the scriptures that pertains to seeking and finding God is we seek him first, then he will reveal himself. God is God. I want to tell you that in my life I became born again at a youth meeting on a Friday night. There was an altar call for people to come forward. I didn't want to go forward because in my heart I already became born again. I was already done. But I felt, okay, let me just for the sake of my friends go with, and I went up forward, and 15 minutes later I started leading people to Jesus because something had already changed in my life. Nobody ever came to follow me up. Nobody said, come and visit my cell group and you must come to the cell and be faithful and you must come to church. Nobody ever once invited me to a cell group. But I looked for a cell group. I said, I'm going to find a cell group. I'm going to make sure that I get into a cell group. I went and I said, I'm going to find a church where I know I can find God. I went on the search. No church came and sort of try to canvass for me to come and join them. I went looking for the place, and when I found it, I said, this is my answer to God. I prayed to God for a whole year during my matric, and I said, God, I'm looking for a church where there's going to be a spiritual father, where there's going to be spiritual friends, brothers and sisters, going to have the same understanding, and I'm looking for a family that is like-minded in the spirit. And I found one, but I went looking. I want to tell you, nobody taught me about baptism and the Holy Spirit. The first person that I heard speaking in tongues was me. The first charismatic Pentecostal filled with the Holy Spirit that I met was me. I've never met a spirit-filled person in my life, never heard about it, never met anyone that's seen or heard or experienced the miracle, nothing. The first miracle I saw, I heard about, was the one I saw for myself. Why? Because I took the Word of God. I don't have my Bible here now. But I started to search the Word of God 3 to 4 hours a day, sometimes a whole day for 2 years. And nobody said to me, Anton, you must do that. Anton, you must at least spend 3 or 4 hours a day in the Word. Now, I know circumstances change, and so you're not always going to have such time. And I don't have that time even now. But there was a time when I had the time and I could go 3-4 hours a day. But I want you to catch what I'm saying to you. Nobody said, Anton, you must read your Bible. I went looking for God. I said, where am I going to find God? And I looked in the Bible and that's where I found Him. And that's where I read about the Spirit of God. That's where I read about baptism and the Holy Spirit. That's where I read about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was my teacher. And I've spoken to Him, I prayed to Him, and He answered me, and He discussed things with me, and I prayed all by myself there in Paul one night after church, and I said, Holy God, Lord Jesus, baptize me with Your Holy Spirit and with fire, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and 6 months later, I started speaking in tongues, and I want to tell you that I've experienced all 9 of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 14 says, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. You will not find spiritual gifts if you don't want it. You will only find what you want, what you desire, what you seek. Nobody taught me one teaching on baptism of believers. Not one. Not one. But I discovered God. I looked in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit convinced me that I need to become baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ because it's the biblical way. Only thereafter came the teaching. Only thereafter did I meet many people like-minded in spirit and understanding. But if you're going to seek God, you don't need a follow-upper. You don't need an invitation to cell group. You don't need a phone call from the office on Monday morning. We're still going to do that. We're still going to phone all people that come in and that become born again. We're going to do that. But the true seeker of the God, he will find a family. He will find God and he will read the Bible and you will not be able to tear him apart from his Bible. In China, there are people who walk days, months, to get but one page of a Bible because they're seeking God. I want to read you from Psalm 121, but before I do, the question is, who is my counselor? Who is my encourager? And who is my teacher? I want to tell you, it is God. Yes, we need Christian counselors, people. And I do counseling, Christelle does counseling, and there's many counselors in the church. We do need counselors. We do need teachers. We do need encouragers. We do need people. But who is my main source? God Himself. The Holy Spirit is my counselor. He's my encourager. He's my teacher. If I'm looking for a teacher, I go to God. If I'm looking for a counselor, I go to God. If I'm looking for an encourager, I go to God. And then He will oftentimes send people to come and affirm and confirm, like you did this morning, was soothing to my soul and to my heart. God is moving. Psalm 121, the song of degrees. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where shall my help come from? That's why I so love that song this morning. Second last one. I want us to sing it again at the end. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where shall my help come from? My help comes from Jehovah who made heaven and earth. It doesn't say my help is going to come from the pastor or from my cell leader or from my husband or from somebody else or from the church. It says my help comes from God and I look to God. My help comes from Jehovah who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber, but people will slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. Jehovah is your keeper. Jehovah is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Jehovah shall keep you from all evil. He shall keep your soul. Jehovah shall keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Jehovah, God Almighty. 1 John 2, verse 20 and 27. This is a key scripture for me in my life as I discovered it as a 16-year-old boy. With no real spiritual guidance. I had no real leader to guide me. And then I discovered this scripture. But you who have the anointing from the Holy One. In other words, you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know all things. But the anointing which you received from Jesus abides in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And as it is, has taught you, abide in Him. The Holy Spirit is your teacher, your guidance, the one who shows you revelation. We need the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers and evangelists. We need teachers. We need them. We need to listen together. We must come together on a Sunday morning. We need to come together on a Wednesday night. We need to go to Bible school. We need all of those things. But I tell you what, you need to get into the Bible for yourself. And you need the revelation from God for yourself. And you need to ask God, say, Lord, reveal yourself to me and show yourself to me face to face, first hand. We all need that. The Holy Spirit be our personal tutor and counselor right next to me every moment of every day. You cannot be dependent on people. You cannot be living your life being spoon-fed. And whenever you problem, it's this one must pray for me and that one must pray for me. You pray to God and for the healing. When somebody in your family is sick, you pray for your family member because you are an anointed man and a woman of God. The Bible does say, two is better than one, and a three-folded cord is not easily broken. That where two or more agree in my name, there I will be, and I will also answer them. We must pray together. We must answer together. But we must also come to the place where I discover God for myself. Amen. Can you see this? In other words, you cannot just come to church and be like a leech that's sucking blood. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Where you can run and walk with God for yourself. Then I want to ask a question. What is your expectation? I was praying during the time that I was away as well. And the Lord has been speaking to me about this word, expectation. And there's a lot more, and I'm just going to share a glimpse with you this morning because I see time is running as well. Do you expect everything and everyone to come to you? Is that your expectation? Because if that is your expectation, you will be disappointed. Guaranteed, with an SABE stamp on it. Oof. I guarantee you that. So many times I hear it, but nobody in that church came and visited me. And nobody befriended me, and nobody phoned me, and I had my birthday, and nobody phoned me. And then I want to ask you a question, and how many people have you invited to your home? And how many people have you befriended? We always have this expectation, because it's an issue of pride and humility. Pride says, people must come to me. Humility says, I can go to people. Humility says, I'm going to visit someone, I'm going to invite someone, I'm going to make a friend so that I can have a friend and that I can... In other words, who's supposed to make the first move? I tell you, it's you and it's me. If you want something, then go get it. If you want a friend, then go get one. If you want a pastor's visit, for example, then pick up the phone and phone me. Amen. You must go for what you want. Some people say, oh, but the leaders don't pay attention to me. My question is, have you made an appointment? Did you invite them to your house? And the pride I'm speaking about is many times rooted in insecurity, that we feel insecure. I feel like I'm overstepping my boundaries. Ek is nie regtig welkom nie. Hey? Have you sometimes felt like that? I remember at school, this was the hardest thing for me. When you see a circle of guys and they're standing there and they ha 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 and they're joking and they're making, you know, the whole body language is, you know, we the mana and, you know, we chatting and, you know, we're a group of friends and this sort of like a tight circle. And I'm standing there and I was an insecure boy when I was young in primary school, etc. And I remember the first time I had the guts to enter into a circle like that. Man, I tell you, I had a little wet spot right here in front. And my legs were shaking, and I was watching the guys, and I realized that these guys all are confident. And when they tell a joke, they sort of tell it with confidence. So I went in there, and I was feeling very small inside. But then I said, I'm going to pretend to be secure. I'm going to pretend to be confident. I walked in there, and I did like they did, and sort of stood in the circle and started telling my stories, and they sort of first look as, who are you? And then they saw confidence and they thought, oh, okay. And I told my story and they actually laughed and I thought, oh, wow, breakthrough. Vrim yourself in. In other words, you've got to press in. Even here at church, even at the party, go and introduce yourself to somebody. Go and make a friend. Be bold. Do not be afraid. Go and do something. Make the first move. I want to tell you just two things as a short testimony. I was desiring to have a spiritual father, like I said, and praying, joined Shofar in Stellenbosch. And I really connected well with Pastor Fred, but he is also, apart from preaching, is sometimes a quiet man as well. But I had a strategy. And so what I would do is, after church, I would watch him, and when he's finished, because he used to lead praise and worship in those days, then I would go, and I would close his guitar case for him, and I'll pick it up, and then I'll walk with him with guitar in hand to his car, and we will start chatting, and talking, and then we would spend a half an hour, sometimes an hour, sometimes even 2 hours in the parking lot chatting, guitar in hand, and he stands there by the door, and we're chatting away. I did the same when I did my internship year in 1999. When I see it's 5 o'clock and he's sort of closing the door, then I would go in there and I would take his suitcase. Click, 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 click. And I'll take his suitcase and I'll carry his suitcase to the car. And then we'll stand in the parking lot again. I tell you, we had the best times in the parking lot. But he didn't come to me. If you want a daddy, you need to run to him. If you want to have a friend, you need to run to him or to her. If you want to have a spiritual mentor, in other words, the onus is on you. You need to pursue the relationship you want. You need to pursue God, and you need to pursue whatever else it is that you want if you're looking for spiritual leadership or whatever. Christelle had a different strategy. She went babysitting for Lucille. And the first time, I want to tell you this, the first time Christelle came there, she was like, oh, you know, I'm going to go and I'll meet Lucille and Fred, you know, because we were university students. The church was already about 400 members, and, you know, we had Fred and Lucille up there on a pedestal. And so she went, oh, I'm going to go into their house, and they're going to say hi to me, and I'm going to talk to them, and they're going to get to know me, and I'm going to have this special relationship. And then Lucille came out, hi, honey, there's the kitchen. Okay, bye. And then after many hours, they came back, and Christelle, when the office phoned and said, can you help with babysitting, she actually had other plans, but she canceled it so that she could be there. And then they came back, and Lucille walked in and said, okay, honey, we're back here, now you can go. Okay, bye. Because it's late, and okay, cheers, thank you, bye. It didn't connect at all. Now, you can have your heart broken, but just Christelle just went again and again and proceeded, and today, I don't think there's anybody in the world that has better access to Lucille than Christelle. She can phone at any time. And Christelle and Fred are spiritual parents to me and Christelle. But we pursued it. And I tell you again, it's not about Fred and Lucille. It's not about Anton and Christelle. It's about God. But whatever it is that you desire in the kingdom of God, you need to pursue it. It shall not come to you by itself. James 4:2.
You desire and do not have. You murder and are jealous and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it upon your lusts. The bottom line is, you have not because you ask not. You find not, I add, because you seek not. I want to close with a few promises from Scripture and a few examples. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please Jesus, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you want to see God, you must seek him with faith. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand judgment, but those who seek God understand all things. If you're going to see God, you're going to understand all things. There may be many things that you say now, I don't understand this. If you seek him, you will understand. Proverbs 28:5, 1 Chronicles 16:10. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek Jehovah rejoice. Seek Jehovah and his strength. Seek his face continually. I want to tell you this. Seeking God is not something that you do and then you become born again and then it's over. But it's something that you do every day continually for the rest of your life. And I tell you, until the day you die, you will not discover all of God. You will be lucky if you experience 10% of God in your lifetime. 2 Chronicles 15:12. And they entered into a covenant to seek God, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. I'm going to close with that one. There's others, but I'm not going to read them. They entered into a covenant to seek God. In other words, they make a lifetime commitment to seek God. We are not perfect people and we are not able to keep all our promises, but we can make a heart's commitment today to become God chasers, to be the ones who's going to seek after God and to set our hearts, to focus our hearts, to say, this shall be my life's purpose. To seek and find the greatest prize of all, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and Jesus Christ, his Son. I'm going to ask the band to come up quickly. We're going to close. Can we start with that second last song? Especially that the verse itself.